From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, March 14th, 2017. And on this day, why Governor Paula Page says the Trump administration may recertify the Riverview Psychiatric Center and restore access to millions in federal funding. And building community among French speakers in Lewiston. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
First tonight, we'll check in on the huge nor'easter that's moving across Maine. The storm's expected to leave up to 2 feet of snow in parts of the state by the time it winds down sometime tomorrow morning. As the National Weather Service in Gray meteorologist Jim Brown says, that while last month's blizzard brought a lot of snow, today's storm has all that and unusually high winds.
We've got a lot of wind with this one, which we haven't had a lot of over this winter. So I think probably the contributing factor that makes it kind of one of the worst storms of the year is probably the fact that we do have the wind and we're getting blizzard conditions along the coast.
The National Weather Service is predicting winds statewide in the 30 to 35 mile an hour range with gusts that could go above 50 miles an hour along the coast. Whiteout conditions have been reported in some areas, and Maine State Police are warning drivers to stay home if they don't need to be on the road. Maine Turnpike officials are also asking people using the highway to slow down. Spokesman Bruce Van Note says there have been a number of slide-offs in the past hour or so as people make their way home. He says visibility is awful, with some places seeing near whiteout conditions. He's asking people using the highway to base their driving speed on conditions, which could mean going a lot slower than the posted 45 miles an hour. And he's asking that people give plows a lot of room.
80 plow trucks are out when it's a storm that affects the whole turnpike like this one. And so they are all fully engaged out on the road, and they're keeping up as best as they possibly can. They're doing great. But when you get these snowfall rates and this kind of wind, the visibility is really the thing that's making it dangerous out there.
Meanwhile, Central Maine Power is reporting almost 20,000 power outages right now. The vast majority are in York County, but the outage area is expanding with service interruptions also reported in Cumberland and Roscommon, Kennebec, Oxford, and Franklin counties. Governor Paula Page is predicting the Trump administration will recertify the Riverview Psychiatric Center in Augusta, a move that would protect $20 million in federal funding. The governor also reiterated his claim that the Obama administration's decertification of the hospital nearly 4 years ago was politically motivated. Steve Missler has our story.
LePage officials have repeatedly asserted that the decertification of the 92-bed hospital nearly 4 years ago was unfair and likely an attempt to retaliate for pushing policies unpopular with the Obama White House. But it wasn't until the governor's radio appearance on Bangor radio station WVOM Tuesday that anyone made a specific accusation, at least publicly.
They're looking into whether or not it wasn't a political retaliation because we did not expand, and that's what we claim.
The governor's mention of expand is a reference to Medicaid expansion. The LePage administration has thwarted multiple attempts to expand the program, known in Maine as MaineCare. Expansion was offered through the Affordable Care Act and is considered a key component of the health law. But LePage successfully defeated those attempts after several pitched battles with Democrats in the legislature. And he apparently believes his success was punished by the Obama administration.
This was a move by the Obama administration to poke us in the eye.
LePage believes that he and DHHS Commissioner Mary Mayhew made a persuasive case to recertify Riverview when they met with Trump's health secretary, Tom Price, last week in D.C.
I'm going to predict they're going to be sensible, common sense people, and we're going to get Riverview recertified.
The governor says his administration has evidence of retaliation, but he hasn't provided any. Mayhew wouldn't say if she believed the Obama administration was exacting revenge. But she did say that the Obama White House fiercely opposed the LePage administration's efforts to overhaul welfare and other initiatives. Mayhew also says that the Obama administration appeared to treat Riverview differently than other psychiatric hospitals.
We continue to believe that the federal government was applying an unfair and inaccurate standard to Riverview Hospital, very different from their approach to hospitals in other states.
The battle over Riverview has raged in Augusta since 2013, when the federal government threatened to yank the hospital's funding after a series of audits. The inspections found that the hospital had numerous problems, including the use of stun guns, pepper spray, and handcuffs on patients, and improper record keeping. The LePage administration created a plan to address the audit findings. The feds initially accepted the plan, but later found deficiencies at the hospital that the LePage administration deemed unfair. And LePage is now confident that Trump officials will agree. Mayhew was also hopeful, but she stopped short of making any predictions.
And the important part of any leader's job is to be able to admit when mistakes were made and to rectify those mistakes.
It's disappointing for the LePage administration and Commissioner Mayhew to continue to not take responsibility and ownership over the problems there.
Democratic Representative Drew Gittin is the former co-chairman of the Health and Human Services Committee. He calls LePage's comments revisionist history designed to distract from the administration's mismanagement of the hospital. Regardless of who's to blame, LePage officials hope the Trump administration will recertify the hospital and do so retroactively. Mayhew says that will allow the state off the hook if any liability claims are filed during the nearly 4 years that the hospital was deemed out of compliance. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
There's an old French saying, lose your language, lose your faith. But in one part of Maine, both are being revived with the help of hundreds of French-speaking African immigrants who are connecting with local Franco-American residents in ways neither expected. And as Susan Sharon reports, that's changing the dialogue in a community where the language of love was often suppressed.
Cecile Thornton of Lewiston is what's known as a Francophone. She grew up speaking French at home and in parochial school. Classes were taught half the day in French and the other half in English. That wasn't unusual in towns in Maine and around New England, where French-Canadian immigrants came to work in factories beginning in the late 1800s. But their language and culture were not readily embraced, and even as late as the 1960s, Thornton says she still didn't feel accepted.
And in my high school years, I have to say that I was a little embarrassed and possibly, you could say, ashamed of being a Francophone. A lot of the dumb Frenchman jokes were going around back then. And so I worked really hard, actually, to lose my Franco accent.
By the time she was 20 and married, Thornton says she had dropped French almost entirely. She raised her kids, moved away, came back, and about a year ago, she found she deeply missed her identity as a Francophone. So she started going to the Franco Center in Lewiston and joined a club that meets twice a week to converse exclusively in French. What Thornton wasn't expecting is that half the members of the French club come from Francophone countries in Africa. Over the last decade, several hundred refugees and asylum seekers from Burundi, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Rwanda have settled in Lewiston and Auburn. Thornton says speaking with them has improved her French dramatically, and she's become close with the new Mainers, so close that a few months ago she traveled to Rwanda to attend a wedding. She says the personal connections wouldn't have been possible if she didn't speak the same language.
It's meant a lot. We're like family. And for me, family is important because my own family is away. My two daughters live on the West Coast in Oregon, so it's nice to have a family.
The French Club has also become a de facto support group for the Francophones from Africa. Many are feeling anxious about President Trump's travel ban and about the overall climate for refugees and asylum seekers in the U.S.
We definitely do talk about the politics, and, you know, the Americans try to comfort us and tell us, you know, hopefully it's going to be okay, and I choose to believe that it is going to be.
Bright Lakusa, born in the Democratic Republic of Congo, is 19 years old. Until she arrived in Lewiston with her mother and brother late last year, she'd lived most of her life in South Africa. It's been a struggle to keep up with her French, which she learned as a child, but she says it's important.
I'm a strong advocate of being proud of where you come from and never being afraid of who you really are. So I think it's very important to always remember where you come from.
As asylum seekers and new Mainers, Lakusa says she and her older brother and mother are determined to make a new life here in Maine. In addition to French Club, they take classes, attend Catholic Church, volunteer at the Immigrant Resource Center, and socialize once a month at La Rencontre, or The Gathering. It's a luncheon at the Franco Center that typically draws about 200 people interested in speaking French as they break bread together.
Mesdames et messieurs, mes amis, je suis enchanté de vous souhaiter la bienvenue à votre gendre centre Franco.
The Franco Center itself is a former Catholic church located in the heart of what's known as Little Canada. Just up the street is the old train station where immigrants from Quebec and other parts of Canada arrived by the thousands to work in the once-booming textile mills and shoe shops that lined the banks of the Androscoggin River. The center offers cultural events along with French classes for children and adults. About 23% of Mainers identify as Franco-Americans, and many of them are fluent in French. Lorraine Ouellette laughs when she says she started speaking French 82 years ago. She's now 84. As a child, her parents spoke only French in their home, and she says she loved that. But when she and her husband had children of their own, things changed.
Actually, I only started picking up on the English when my children started going to school. Then they really wanted me to speak English. But I still, as far as myself, it was always French with my husband until he died.
Now, Ouellette is a regular at La Rencontre, where she speaks French with her cousin, her sisters, and anyone else who joins them at their table. Mary Rice DeFosse, a professor of French and Francophone studies at Bates College, says there have always been pockets of French speakers in Maine, and especially in Lewiston, where they can still be heard speaking the language in the grocery store. What's different now, she says, is that French has become useful again.
It was a language that people spoke within their family circles. They didn't think of it as a public language. But now we have new immigrants. They're not fluent in English, and they need to speak French. And so these Franco-Americans who can speak French suddenly can find a public function for their French language.
And DeFosse says it's also a way of validating the Francophones who were already here, as well as welcoming those who are new to Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And in celebration of Francophone Week, there are a series of events planned at the Franco Center and around the state. And Friday on Maine Things Considered, we'll meet a French sing-along group that stars a 93-year-old grandmother. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Tuesday, March 14th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Moore and A.J. Higgins and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.